The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast, with us all celebrating World Verdejo Day on Friday, June 5th. Who better to talk to than the man himself, the Director General for the DO, for DO Rueda. It is Santiago Mora. Santiago, thank you so much for being part of the podcast today.
Thank you to you. Thank you to you for giving us this opportunity. Very important for us.
Loving it where we can highlight that grape, your region, and just all that it brings. And we'll get into the grape, but just for people who don't know, what does your job entail being, you know, the head of a wine region, especially one as big and as important as Rueda, one of the most important white wine producing regions in the world?
Okay, well, actually, I'm the general manager, the managing director, okay? We have a board. Of course, our board is divided into two different parts. Six members of the board that represent the winery sector, another six that represent the wine grower, bean grower sector. So these 12 choose a president that is, an honorific church, a representation church, and then the general director is the maximum responsible of the appellation, and well, actually, I have to deal with executing all the decisions of the board, and we have different functions. The most important probably are those related with the quality control and origin. The quality and the origin are our reasons to be. Rueda 6 exists because of that origin and quality. And then we are in charge also of the educational and promotional part. We are dealing with different promotional activities right now in 14, 15 different countries all over the world, all around the world.
And how long have you had this job?
Well, I started 11 years ago. I had some experience in, I'm an economist, so I started working. Well, I made some postgraduate courses in Holland, in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam. And then I started working in Madrid in the financial sector. Then I started working, supporting companies in the Spanish embassy in the Chamber of Commerce of Spanish in Brazil, supporting Spanish companies in their export promotional activities and sales. And then I had the opportunity to go to come back to Spain, specifically to Castilla y León, to work for the Spanish, for the regional government in FDI, foreign direct investment and cooperation projects and so on. And then, suddenly I received a call phone an email actually, from a human resources company located in Madrid. I was interested in the wine sector because there was an opportunity and they didn't speak about the region. And I said, okay, I'm crazy enough to do it, to try to get this job. And after, this process of 4 or 5 months, I finally got selected and I decided to go. It's an opportunity, a challenge. And at the same time, for me, it was like in the best moment. With a broad experience, managing teams, also in the financial sector, also in the, promotional activities all over the world. So, I thought, and I'm a passionate of the wine industry. So, I thought at that moment that it was in the best moment in your life, and I decided to get involved in the project, and now 11 years ago I can say that I was right, I think.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. We've seen we'll get into it, the growth of Rueda, the growth of Verdejo wines throughout the world. Did you have a love of wine before, or was it something that you enjoyed, and now the last 11 years, obviously your knowledge is much greater. I'm just curious, How different is your wine knowledge now versus right before you took the job?
At the beginning, I was just, a passionate of the wine industry. But I have a confession for you now. I remember that in all this selection process in Madrid first and then in Valladolid, all the questions were about, okay, my qualifications, my experience, and then, of course, if I like wine. In general, okay. And I always said, yes, I like wine. Of course, I like wine. But they didn't, they never did the exact question about white wine. And I had, in those days, I had a problem with white wine because I had, I think it was about 17 or 18 years ago, a very bad experience in Lisbon, in Cascais, near Lisbon, in Portugal, with a white wine that probably my stomach didn't react very well. I mean, I had some problems of acidity, so with acidity of wine. So I didn't try white wine in the last 4 or 5 years before joining the project of Rueda.
So they didn't make you blind taste and figure out the Rueda versus a Portuguese white versus a white Bordeaux. That wasn't part of the test.
I didn't make any kind of test at all about tasting Rueda or white wines. And I remember that at the beginning, I was a little bit afraid. I mean, it's like, I don't know how it's going my body to react because it's been like 5 years without trying any white wine at all. So it's like, let's go and see. And I remember that at the beginning, in my first tasting of white wine in Rueda, I was, curious and worried at the same time. But my body didn't react at all. And since then, I have had not any kind of problem at all with my stomach and white wine. I don't mind whether wines or any other kind of white wine. I think it was a question of, probably because in those times there was not so much rotation of white wine. Probably maybe too much SO2 or whatever. I don't remember. I don't know. But probably in order to, to maintain the conditions of the wine, the white wines, some years ago, it was very common to use this kind of products in order to stabilize. And give more. It's probably, I think it could be the reason. It could be. And now it has changed in the last 10, 15 years dramatically, that question.
Well, of course, also, and just with Rueda and Verdejo, so much of everything's organic or biodynamic and so few chemicals being used. So it's going to be it's a white wine that'll go with anyone, even people that maybe have some sensitivities. With Rueda, you usually don't have to worry about those sensitivities.
Yes. I remember it was a Portuguese wine. But in any case, I mean, it's a question of, in Rueda, as you have mentioned, I mean, most of producers, because we are a very easy to work in the vineyards region, because, we are in a plateau, a very small quantity of rain, no need of so much chemicals and so on. During the, with the grape and at the same time also in the bottle of wine, because the rotation of the wines are very, and are prepared, very well prepared in order to get older and so on, the aging capacity of the Rueda wines. But I mean, it has changed totally. So it was like, my first worry, I remember I was very worried about that possibility, but I passed the exam.
That must have been such a relief when you're now tasting all these wines and you're enjoying them and your body's not reacting negatively. That would have made the job really difficult.
Yes, of course. Well, I honestly tried before being selected. Okay.
Right.
Yes, in order to get sure that it wasn't happening. But yes, it was like, I wasn't prepared for that question. It was impossible to accept this kind of opportunity because, if I'm not able to drink the wines I'm promoting, I think it could be impossible to be credible. Okay. Impossible.
So, what are some of the biggest changes you've seen with your region now versus when you started 11 years ago in terms of development, quality, recognition? What are some of the big changes between today and when you started?
Okay, well, I think I remember at the beginning that I had some interviews with some journalists, very experimental and very good writers of wine, not only from Spain, but also from the USA, and trying to understand, you know, the potentiality of the Verdejo grape and the Rueda region. And I remember that at the beginning, it was like all the ideas were, well, the level of elaborations in Rueda is very high. Very high because we are specialized. It's one of the small number of white wine region specialized white wine in Europe. So it's totally different elaborating white wines versus red wines. It's another concept, totally different. And we were very well prepared for white wine. That means that the level of elaboration is very high. But at the same time, in Spain, we had a saying that is like the best white wine is a bad red wine. You can imagine the influence of this kind of sayings in the mentality of the wine consumer in Spain. So it was like very difficult at the beginning, 15, 20 years ago, to start working with Rueda. But suddenly, I remember at the beginning, the figures is like we were selling about 60 million bottles. Now we are selling 120 million bottles, double. We have doubled our sales and the production and the vineyards and so on. What has changed the most is trying to adapt to the consumer of white wine in Spain specifically. We have used the Verdejo and the versatility and the aging potential of the Verdejo grape, you know, to go ahead and trying to adapt to the new trends in Spain that dramatically changed their mind. Everybody liked Verdejo and everybody wanted to try another Verdejos, another vintages, old vintages, another Verdejo wines from Rueda, but elaborated in another way. I mean, once you get the market, everybody understand, like, and at the same time, is very, very, the consumer is very hard. I mean, they want the best and they want to improve the quality and improve the versatility and improve the capacity of aging. And I think this is what our winemakers have made the best in the last years, in order to try to adapt to this trend, a very, very, very important trend in Spain and all over the world. Okay, I mean, once you have the Verdejo grape, very aromatic grape with a very important personality, very different to any other kind of white wines, to the Sauvignon Blanc or either Chardonnay or Pinot Grigio, very different with a very important personality. To try to get this personality, you have shown to the world that you can make elaborate very important young wines for, I mean, 1 or 2 years wines that are going to be consumed very, very, very soon. But you have to show to the market that you can also use this grape to make this another kind of wine. So I think it's probably the thing that has changed the most. I mean, we have been able, our winemaker are trying and I mean, it's showing the capacity to adapt to the consumer trend, very important in Spain and all over the world, with this kind of high added value white wines. And we can see now that, you know, most of the most important journalists in the UK or Canada or the USA or in Switzerland, or I mean, in Spain as well, all of them are getting close, very focused on what we are doing now in Rueda with these new categories, Gran Vino de Rueda, this characterization of soils project we are developing right now in order to understand much better what the soils mean in the aromas and to understand much better the different white wines from Verdejo that we can develop in different areas of different soils in different villages. And I mean, that's, I think, the most important change I have seen in the last 11 years.
How important is it for the reputation of Rueda and the Verdejo grape when you hear from famous wine writers and sommeliers, Jancis Robinson, Tim Atkin, from Spain, Ferran Centelles, and I'm sure I mispronounced his last name, apologies. But when these individuals talk about the age worthiness of these wines, how important is that for Oliver Rueda?
Well, I mean, it's very important, not only because, I mean, we are talking about the most important journalist in the wine industry. It's important not only their opinion in that way, that they are sure and they are convinced that the aging potential of the Verdejo Grazing Rueda is still to be discovered. But we can see some very good examples already. It's not only because, you know, they are trying to help us in order to let the consumers understand much better the Verdejo grape and the potentiality of the Verdejo grape, but also it's important for our winemakers. Because I remember at the beginning, I remember a tasting in the USA, a blind tasting in New York. I was invited to a lunch, and it was a blind tasting with three white wines and three other red wines. And I remember it was in 2015. And I remember the last white wine only spoke about the vintage. It was a 28 vintage. I mean, 7-8 years ago was the vintage. We didn't know anything about the wine. At that moment, I didn't know much more about wine. Because, well, I mean, my education in wine has come later. I made the WSET level 3 in 2017, in order to understand much better the business I was involved. But at that point, well, I mean, my knowledge of the wine industry was not so high. No, but I remember in the wine tasting that all the Americans do like, you know, that you like so much to understand the wines if it comes from, and old Europe or the new world or the acidity or, you know, and I remember everybody talking about this is sore, for sure, we are tasting an old Europe wine. And some people thought it was a Chardonnay from Bourgogne, and other people thought that it was a Riesling. And suddenly, the sommelier shows us the label. It was a Rueda wine. It was a Rueda that had 7-8 years old, and it was incredible. It was the most successful wine of the land by far. And it was a surprise for me. Everybody was looking at me, and I told them, I'm the first surprise guy here. I didn't know at all that our wines had this possibility. But I saw that the winemaker of that wine didn't know that. I mean, I don't think that the winery was expecting that result. Just was by chance. I mean, it was, well, actually a very good example, but I have to recognize also that there were some wineries, 5-6 wineries, that from the beginning they were betting on the aging capacity because they were, I mean, totally convinced of that opportunity for the Verdejo grape in Rueda. So, I mean, now it has changed everything totally because these journalists, Tim Atkin, Decanter, Ferran Centelles, Jensi Robinson, they all are convinced of the potentiality of the Verdejo grape, the versatility, but also the aging potential. And now our winemakers are starting, all of them, has started some years ago, to also try to develop that capacity and try to investigate, to research, that's a very interesting phenomenon we are living now in Rueda.
Yeah, I remember talking in one of the other interviews that I've been doing for World Verdejo Day with Pedro Martin from Bodegas Protos about one thing I was impressed with when I visited is that not even the highest, most expensive Verdejos, you can even get just medium level that you can put away for 5-7 years and they transform and become rich and honeyed and much more powerful. Also, I would recommend to everyone out there, Jose Parente, they do some really good age-worthy Verdejos as well. Sticking with just the idea of like higher standards, how important was it? And it's been a bunch of years now where you guys added a classification, the Gran Vino de Rueda. So the vines have got to be at least 30 years old. There's yields can't be anything more than 6,500 kilogram per hectare. Like, there's higher standards to reach. But now that you can put on the bottle, put on the label for people to see that if it's a Gran Vino de Rueda, that this is a wine that certainly there's been a lot more time and energy put into it. How important has that been for just for the region?
It's key to understand what we are talking about. I mean, has been very, very, very important for all of us to understand much better our wines, our Verdejo grape, and also to look for this potentiality, the versatility and the aging potential. You have been very well, you have described precisely this honey, this another aromas you can find in these Verdejos from some old vintages. And the Gran Vino de Rueda that we launched in by 2020, 6 years ago, the first vintage, was was a challenge, but it was very difficult at the beginning because just to try to define the category was, and to give the name to the category was especially complicated. Gran Vino de Rueda is like a very presumptuous name for this kind of wines, and we were afraid that we were not able to get it. But at the same time, we were very sure of this potentiality. So the description of the category was just to give to our winemakers the best raw material that is, in most of cases, in these very old vineyards, because the average age of this category is about 70 years old vineyards, just to have an idea. So they are using the best raw material and other yields and other transformation between kilograms and liters, and at the same time, 1 year in the winery. I mean, we don't want a commercial wine. We want that you have to try to develop your own personality. You have the best raw material. Now we want you to interpret, to give you the interpretation, your own interpretation, and totally freedom to elaborate whatever you want. So we were very short of, first of all, the raw material, because we are the one of the small one. I mean, I don't know how many regions specialized in white in Europe can say that have prephylloxerical vineyards. We can say that. I mean, especially in the Segovia area, in the east part of the Appalachian, in the south also. So first of all, that. Secondly, the level of elaboration of our winemakers. I mean, even the cheapest Verdejos from Rueda in the supermarket were very small, very medium, and even better than medium quality wines. Everybody knows very well the Verdejo grape, knows very well how to work with that, and we had the opportunity to let them to investigate, to research, to try to see how to work with different soils, different tools. And now you can see concrete eggs from different materials, foudres, oak from different origins, from different sizes, amphoras. I mean, they are using different ways, and at the same time, in some cases, only soils, only the soil and just overlays, and that's all that they are using. So, I mean, totally freedom to take advantage of our vineyards, very old, of course, the capacity, and at the same time, the trend we were talking about before. I mean, the trend when we talk about the consumer. A consumer has been increasing their passion for white wine, especially for Rueda, of course. Just take into account that we account in Rueda almost 50% of the Spanish market of white wine. I mean, 45% of market share, when we talk about white wine in Spain, attending to Nielsen figures, belong to Rueda. So just imagine, no? You have the market, you have created the market, and you have the opportunity to get involved in this hard, very small, very important trend of white wine consumers in Spain, especially in Spain, okay? That was to try to look for this kind of added value wines and other vintages and these possibilities. So, well, I mean, coming back to the to your question, I mean, this the creation, the launch of this category has been key to understand the success of Rueda in the last times. And even, of course, the focus, we have get the focus of from all the most important journalists all over the world. So we can see, we can say now that there was a very difficult, but at the same time, very right decision.
Yeah, and as you kind of said, it unlocks the creativity of these winemakers. It allows them to push boundaries and to try different things in terms of making, you know, just a richer, more complex version of Verdejo. And I want to read a quote of yours because I'm curious how this shift is going. You said in the next 5 years, we would like the focus to be much more on our producers than on the DO itself. Up until now, we've been preoccupied with getting people to order a glass of Rueda at a bar. Now it's time for individual producers to shine. And I found that quote really interesting. And I wonder, how important is it for people to focus less on the fact that the wine is coming that from Rueda and more of the focus on the specific producers working with the Verdejo grape?
That's the following step. We have created a market for sure that didn't exist at least in Spain. We can say now that the consumer can ask any kind of weather because they like it, and they are sure they are going to like it. So we are very sure of the quality in terms of quality. We are convinced, and the consumer is convinced that they know that the weather is a very successful bet, of course. But now And this category has been launched because of that. Also, I mean, we want that our wineries can express their personality by themselves. They can differentiate in the market, and they can launch or create this kind of iconic wines that are still to be launched in the Rueda region. I mean, there are some very good examples of very good wines, excellent wines with lower prices. Well, you can find in the market even wines from Rueda for more than 200 euros. But we need that this kind of small wineries, this kind of wineries that are focusing on this qualitative part of our sector, try to, you know, push much more in order to create this kind of differentiation, and that the consumer could understand much better that not only there is a Rueda quality of white wine, of course, but also inside Rueda, of course, you can find top wines, top white wines compared to any other in the world. No, I mean, that would be the following step. And this creation of the category, and some others that didn't bet on this category, but they're trying to do the same. I mean, it's not compulsory to have this label, this black label of Gran Vino de Rueda in order to, you know, to be able to convince to the market of that point. I mean, any of our producers, that most of them are trying to do that. I think we are in the I repeat what Tim or Beth Wheeler or Ferran Centelles or Jarzim, all of them agree. I mean, it's time to let to our wineries, to winemakers, to see the possibilities of the Verdejo grape. We are still in the way. So, well, that's our path from now on.
In 2030, the DO Rueda will celebrate its 50th birthday. That's 4 years from now. Where do you have any predictions, or where would you like to be in terms of where Rueda and the Verdejo grape is in the wine world? Where would you like to see it on the 50th birthday?
Well, Matt, actually, the wine sector, I remember at the beginning, I had a very good advice from one winery that told me the wine industry develops in another way. I mean, any other kind of sector, 1 year in any other sector means 5 years minimum in the wine sector. You know what I mean? I mean, it's mm-hmm. a very yep. slow sector. I hope that in the next years, 5 years, we are going to be able to, you know, to have this conversation, Matt, and trying to describe this kind of big wineries from Rueda that has achieved this success from the qualitative point of view, that they have, some of them should be able to know to achieve that new labels, new wines launched to the market, or some others that are already in the market, suddenly are recognized by the final consumer like a worldwide wine compared to any other top white wine in the world. I mean, Borgonia, Riesling, or whatever. I hope so. I don't know,
by the way,
5 years is going to be enough time, but I think we're in the way to that, to get that.
Well, if you think about how far you've come since you took over, and even where Spanish wine was 25 years ago, where it was dominated, everyone just thought about Rioja and Tempranillo in the 90s. Compare that to where you guys are now. I mean, it's such a massive jump. It's not hard to see 4 years from now just how much more normal it'll be where Rueda is on any wine list. Before I let you go, Santiago, how did you do on your WSET level 3? How did you do?
Well, actually, it was like, I mean, I remember that it was very, very hard because I wasn't able to attend to the different classes because I was traveling all the time, you know. So all the physical classes, it was impossible for me to make the tastings and so on. I think I attended only two or three classes, so it was especially difficult. But I took some vacation on summer in order to prepare the examination. And I remember that it was like, because the WCT approach for wine, I mean, I like so much. It's like, you know, you are studying, but at the same time enjoying so much, discovering different regions, different ways of working, different. I mean, it was, I remember, a privilege for me because it was, I remember 10, 12 days only to prepare the examination. Well, actually, I have here the books because sometimes I take a look to some doubts I could have, because I think it's in, I mean, the best way to approach for me, from my point of view, to the wine industry all over the world. I like so much.
You know, it's funny. I bet if you look at the next WSET courses and textbooks, the section on Rueda will be much, much larger than what it was when I started taking my classes back in like 2010.
We are working on that.
Santiago, really appreciate you doing the pod again. Happy World Verdejo Day, which is being celebrated on Friday, June 5th. Anyone listening to this in Canada, go to the SAQ, go to the LCBO, wherever your local wine store is. You're going to be able to find some examples of the Verdejo grape from Rueda. And I appreciate, Santiago, you taking time to be on the podcast today.
Thank you very much, Matt. It's been a pleasure for me. And thank you very much for paying attention to the Verdejo grape and to Rueda. Very appreciated.
I love it. I love it. It's been so cool learning all the different expressions of what that grape can do. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can find me on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, and wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.